Savvy Girls Podcast. This is Deborah.
And this is Melanie.
And you are joining us for episode number 32. We are podcasting to you from
Bogota, Colombia.
We have, as usual, a jam-packed episode for you today. Savvy Dad is making his second guest appearance and answering more listener questions.
There is another episode of The Case of the Missing Ivory Knitting Needles, and we're bringing back a word. So if your vocabulary is feeling a little sparse, it will no longer need to feel sparse.
Last week, I talked to you about women's body shapes and how best to dress them. And this episode, we are going to be talking about the men. We will also be bringing you our regular chatting, including what we are both knitting.
Uh-oh.
That's right. You heard me. We are both knitting right now.
Well, not right now.
Not right now. Melanie won't let me do that.
Anyway, so sit back.
Pick up your knitting sticks.
And
enjoy the show.
Yeah, enjoy the show. And I say, wait, hey, it's just an ordinary day. And it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's all right. We have both been pretty busy over the last 2 weeks.
We have both moved.
We have both moved.
Actually, I talked about my move in the last episode.
That's true, but now you're settled in.
But let's talk about you first.
I made notes because there's so much. Actually Deborah made
notes. I made notes.
Let's see. Okay, the first thing I did was I moved to New York again from Edmonton. I usually end up moving out during the summer and performing, and then I move back during the fall. So it's fall, and I moved to New York City again. And as I mentioned on the... Why do you have to turn it off?
I would like to just say that there's X-Men playing on the TV right now, and
movie.
I could see Melanie trying to talk and watch. X-Men was muted, but then there's Spanish subtitles. So I could see Melanie trying to watch X-Men while she's talking, and it's obvious that she's not paying full attention by how well she's telling her story.
It's a really good movie.
So I turned it off, and then she just had this look of disappointment on her face. Why'd you do that? Because we're podcasting.
What's going to happen to Wolverine? We'll never know.
Okay.
Okay.
So, start at the beginning, you moved to New York.
Okay, I finished performing at the Fringe, you know that. I moved to New York. The night before I moved, I helped my mom paint our laundry room. So we stayed up all night painting the laundry room because my mom ordered new washers and dryers. It is interesting. They're blue.
It's fascinating.
Yes.
They're blue?
They're blue, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and not dark blue either, sort of a ice frosty blue.
Oh, very nice.
So we had to pick paint and we painted it, and to do two coats, we had to paint basically all night. And I left the next morning and I went to Toronto, and that day I performed for my boobie, for my grandmother, at Baycrest, which is where she goes during the day. Some days it's like a senior center.
Yeah, there's a day program where they have exercise and activity, and it's a social day.
Exactly. So,
you went and performed there.
And a couple days later, I took the Greyhound down to New York. Blech. Which is a lot of hours. It's about 13 and a half hours.
On a bus.
On a bus. With internet, at least, but on a bus. Moved into my new apartment. Now, I'm not going to just use this podcast as a forum to whine. This time. But let's just say my apartment wasn't exactly what I expected.
Or your living circumstance.
My living circumstance. Well, and the apartment. I moved in. The apartment was filthy. There was just the hair, old food, the moldy things in the refrigerator. I cleaned the refrigerator, someone else's moldy food, dead cockroaches on the shelves in the kitchen. It was just, the floor was filthy. My feet were pitch black after walking around barefoot, which only happened once, let me tell you. And I was paying half the rent, it turned out, and I was paying to stay in one room and not use the rest of the apartment.
Just clarify that a little bit. The person you were living with made it clear that you only had access to your one room and that you were a guest in the rest of the house, not that you had equal access to the rest of the apartment.
And from the day I moved in to now, there has been someone living on the couch in our apartment, not contributing to the rent, just taking up the common space. Were I even supposed to be using it? So the apartment didn't work out all that well.
But
I found a new apartment. I saw about 6 apartments, which ranged from living with 2 girls in a great area in a tiny little space, 5th floor walk up, tiny space, 5th floor walk up, to an apartment where I walked in and there was some crazy older guy sitting there. Basically, it was an episode of Hoarders.
Oh no, really?
Yeah, he was sitting on a futon in his main room. It was a one-bedroom apartment, scratching himself when I walked in, and he wanted to rent out the bedroom. I finally found an apartment. It is beautiful. It is with two other girls. I haven't met the other girls yet, but beggars can't be choosers.
Big space. People keep to their own business.
Yes.
Big kitchen.
The bathroom was a little sketchy looking. There's some kind of pipe coming out of the floor, which you need to lean a certain way or the water doesn't stop running. Mm-hmm. Really? It's New York. We'll work it out. So I am very excited October 1st to be moving into my new place. And meanwhile, I ran away to Bogota because I didn't want to live with this guy for 1 minute longer. So I dropped most of my responsibilities and ran to Bogota. That is why I'm here. FYI, I didn't plan on coming here, but it just happened.
How long have you been here?
3 days. Deborah has a beautiful apartment and she has lovely wool. Even though she hasn't gotten most of her wool yet, the wool she has here is lovely.
It's true. It is lovely. Sorry. I'm modest. I love my wool.
Two other things to talk about. I met Marion One, who is one of our listeners. Her name is not Marion One. Her name is Marion.
Right. Sure. Her Ravelry name is Marion One.
Exactly.
Her real name is Marion.
Marion. She lives on Long Island, and I went out for a knitting party and actually had a sleepover at her house. It was really, really fun. It was so nice to meet her.
And you met her knitting friends.
I met her knitting friends, and they were all knitting lots of things. And
what's the knitting party in Long Island look like?
Well, we were in her backyard. It was still, although in Edmonton it's pretty cold, and here it's cold, warm-ish. It was a beautiful day.
Was it outside?
It was outside. Everyone brought homemade food.
Aw, that's sweet. And how long did it last?
Probably about 4 hours.
And people just sat around and knit and chatted?
Sat around and knit and chatted.
Great.
And people helped me get started on my sock.
We will be talking about Melanie's knitting coming up later in the podcast.
Yes, someone actually wound my ball of wool for me. I know.
Into two equal balls.
No, they made me do that. But from the skein into the ball.
Okay, and then you had to rewind it into another ball.
But someone said it relaxed her to do that. And I thought, please relax away. And about a week later, Marion One came to town with...
A.K.A.
Marion.
Marion.
She came to town with some of her friends and... We had a New York morning in that we were in the audience of the show The View, which I admit I have never seen before now. Whoopi Goldberg's in it. She's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was really fun. We lined up 4 hours in advance. Everyone brought their knitting, so it was a group of knitters.
You included?
Maybe. A group of knitters in line, and there were free sandwiches, free bagels, free coffee while we were in line. I really, really enjoyed The View. Patti LuPone was the guest, and I heart Patti LuPone. She's an amazing singer and kind of a diva, so...
What's there not
to love? So what are you up to?
I've been spending a lot of time at work. In our last episode, I talked all about my move here, etc., etc. So I'm not going to go through that again. But basically, I'm living in Colombia. I adore it here. I have so many wonderful things to say about this location. Culturally, it's a place where I'm very comfortable. Of course, I'm not fully integrated yet, and I don't understand a lot of the cultural subtleties, but I'm still super happy. I am very happy in my apartment. I'm working very, very hard, and I'm working long hours, but I'm loving it. And
does anyone make fun of your Argentinian Spanish?
Everybody makes fun of my Argentinian Spanish.
Can you just quickly explain?
Well, sure. In Argentina, there's a tendency to speak with a sh sound, whereas in other parts of Latin America, it's a y sound. So the LL... in Mexico, in Colombia, that kind of thing.
Like in the word llama?
Like in the word llama.
Yagar? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, basically, like in the word chicken, it's spelled P-O-L-L-O, and here it would be pollo. Whereas in Argentina, the double L makes a sh sound. So in Argentina, it's pollo. And also, the Y letter makes the sound yo, or y, here. And in Argentina, it makes a sh sound. So if you wanted to say, I want, in Colombia, it would be yo quiero. But in Argentina, it's yo quiero. So I am still speaking with my porteño or my Argentinian accent. And I think I'm the a source of amusement for people all around me, but it's been good. And I went with a group of people from work, some lovely colleagues of mine. We went to a place called Apoima. I will have to look that up. I'm sorry. I will link it in the show notes. But basically, we went to a finca, which is, I think, a vacation property. And we rented this whole thing. It was absolutely beautiful. Bogota is quite chilly. It's sort of fall weather year-round, and it's sweater weather year-round. But this finca was outside of Bogota, and we traveled down in altitude out of the mountains, and it was basically a tropical location with tropical weather and tropical fruit, and I spent many hours...
Eating?
Well, many hours sleeping, and many hours knitting, and a good amount of time visiting with colleagues. So I'm going to wrap my chit-chat up here, because I don't want to talk to you all about boring work stuff. And I just want to tell people that the Colombia that I've seen is nothing like the Colombia that we imagine.
That we know and love from the media?
Well, from the media or from the movies, it is. I'm just so happy. My neighborhood is similar to any well-established neighborhood that I've experienced, and it's not danger on every corner, and there aren't drug lords on every corner, and
that's that.
And that's that. I'm sure I'll have more stories to tell as my experience here goes on.
There are lots of things to know, like how to dance or knit a row. It's hard to think, but don't be sad. You can just ask Savvy Dad. Savvy Dad, he knows it all. Problems big and problems small. Knit, crochet, or romance too. Savvy Dad is here for you. It's hard to know if you are good or know if you are bad. So just ask Savvy Dad.
Dear Savvy Dad, where do babies come from?
Babies come from or are adopted by loving parents. But I am surprised at the question. I think you spend too much time knitting and not enough time on learning biology.
Just ask Savvy Dad.
Dear Savvy Dad, do you ever get over savvy daughters living so far away?
Frequent long-distance calls are one way to cope. It is a fact of life that today's children are mobile. Keep in touch regularly. Encourage your children, and don't let them know you are saddened by their distance.
Just ask Savvy Dad.
Dear Savvy Dad, just how did you cope with the first sleepover at your house? 19-year-old son and his 18-year-old girlfriend.
Fortunately, this did not occur when my children were teenagers. If it does occur, remind them that sleepovers are for telling horror stories, watching television, and staying awake all night. And, for the time being, you will permit the sleepover, but will assume the role of a savvy chaperone.
Dear Savvy Dad, did Melanie have an aversion to all needles as a child? Did she get her childhood inoculations?
All our children receive their childhood inoculation. Melanie's aversion to needles, you would think, would be overcome by her numerous gerbil bites. But I guess she regards gerbil bites as more sanitary. By the way, her aversion to needles also applies to knitting needles, or to use her own words, knitting sticks.
Savvy Daddy, why am I still single?
You probably spend too much time knitting. You should be more social. When you go out on a date, leave your knitting at home. That could be the problem. Unless you need your knitting utensils for self-defense on your date.
Just ask Savvy Dad.
He sure knows a lot.
Does he ever?
I'm confused.
Échange des profonds.
Okay, Deborah, so you are here. A portion of your stash is here, here being Columbia. And what have you knit?
Well, I started knitting a sweater when I was in Ottawa, and I've worked on it. I'm wearing it right now. And I worked on it during my travels and since I've lived. And about a week and a half ago, I finished it. And since then, I've been really struggling to find a project that I want to make. I've started a couple things that I haven't finished. But let me talk about my sweater, and then I can... Melanie's yawning already. Seriously, she just opened her mouth without even covered and just let out the biggest yawn. How
offensive.
Oh my goodness.
The
pattern I knit is called Amused, and it's a knitty.com pattern. And of course, I will put a link in the show notes. Basically, it is a top-down raglan style. There's a reversible cable collar, and then it's also quite open at the front. It's the kind of sweater that you would have to wear a camisole underneath, and then it closes and it's knit in the round from just below the breast line all the way down to the hips. So I knit it out of Milana Chelsea yarn, which is a cotton merino or a cotton wool blend. It's the first time I've knit a garment using something containing cotton, and I really like it. It's not pilling, and it's comfortable, but not super, super hot. I ended up altering the pattern a little bit. Melanie's fighting her yawns.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Your eyes are watering because you're fighting your yawning so much.
At least I'm not yawning.
That's true.
Go on.
I finish my talk,
chatting? Please.
Okay, you did chat for 12 minutes about what you're doing, and I chatted for two.
Go on, please.
Okay. I checked out what a lot of people did when they were knitting the sweater, and one of the things that I had noticed from the picture and one of the things that people commented on was the fact that when you join the... What would you call this part? It's a big collar, and then it comes down...
Like a cowl
and the
collar.
Two, it's not a cowl at all.
Cowl collar.
It's not a cowl at all. I highly recommend that you go have a look at the pic. But essentially, there are two cables that run down the front, and then the two cables, one crosses over the other, and then it's knit in the round, and there's no longer a cable. So at the point where the cables connect, people were finding that the fabric was bunching, and you can see that there's extra fabric around the stomach area going down. It seems that there are just more stitches than there is space, and so it was creating a little pouch in the front right around the tummy area, and I didn't want that. What some people did was that they extended the cable going all the way down to the bottom of the sweater.
I like it the way you did it, though.
But what I did, actually, is because I could tell that there were more stitches, that there was room, or that the stitches were bunching, that what I did is I reduced the number of stitches going across. A total of 16 stitches across a very short area. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I ended up reducing about 16 stitches over the course of about 24 stitches. That's not making sense. Basically, I reduced stitches at the point where it was bunching in order for it to lay flatter, and it worked.
It does lay flat.
Yeah, it lays flat, and I'm happy with how it worked, and I will have to update my project notes on Ravelry so that other people can maybe benefit from my experience.
There is only one major problem with the sweater you have knitted.
What's the problem with it? Melanie noticed today, she looked at me wearing the sweater, and she said, "Those are a lot of stitches."
That's not the problem.
Was that the problem?
No.
What's the problem?
The magic of Columbia has hit you, and soon...
Oh.
The sweater will not fit.
Yeah, there is Columbia magic in that it is a higher altitude here, and therefore your body has to work harder just to function. So any exercise you do, your heart beats faster, and your body works harder, and so... One tends to lose weight here.
It's magic. Basically, it's
magic. You
it's
pretty
magic.
Much just need to exist here, and as long as you maintain your eating patterns, your eating, you know, good eating habits, then there's a tendency for people to lose weight. So since I've arrived, I have lost weight.
I saw her a month and a bit ago, and she's like a third of her size.
That's so not true. The scale says that I'm exactly the same weight, but I've probably gone down a clothing size.
Ugh.
But... You know, I wouldn't complain if the Bogota magic works and I reduce a couple of clothing sizes.
Soon the sweater will be mine.
Soon the sweater will not be yours. Soon I will just be snuggling in my sweater.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you knitting, Sissy?
Me? It was just... Hey! I'm not boring. Are you seriously on?
Yeah.
Wow, I haven't even started.
I know, but it's boring already.
It is boring, because knitting is boring.
We love knitting here. Okay, what are you knitting? What are you
socks.
Knitting it out of?
Out of wool.
What's the pattern you're knitting?
It's called Just Your Basic Sock, because that's all I can handle.
She's making, yeah, the pattern is Just Your Basic Socks, or sock pattern. I don't remember exactly, but we will link that in the show notes. Mm-hmm. I knit a pair of those.
Did you? Are those really tall ones that are on your floor and it crumbled heat?
No, those were different socks.
Oh, I like those.
I do too. But
if,
those aren't.
If you're featuring, I would totally take those.
Except that they're too big on my feet currently. Anyways, it's a pattern that I knit once and Melanie's now on her second pair.
Yeah, one a year.
One a year. And so tell me about these socks. What are you knitting them out of?
Out of Malabrigo sock yarn.
Do you know the colorway?
It's purple.
And?
Blue. It's blue, green, purple.
Okay, but they're really intense, saturated colors.
They're the saturated kind that you see on shirts and dresses right now. They're the colors that are in style. And I don't know the name because I found it on some shelf in the Malabrigo factory. And it's beautiful.
How far have you gotten?
On one of them, I have just turned the heel.
Yay.
And the other, I have finished the gusset and I'm at the foot.
Well done. Mm-hmm. And you haven't started your toe decreases yet, have you?
I haven't done the foot yet.
Okay.
So I'm hoping by the time I see you at Rhinebeck, I'll be able to get your
You'll be wearing your socks.
The toe, right.
Well, you have friends in New York who would help you. Or you can figure it out.
See, if someone else does it, it doesn't count. It's not my sock anymore. It's basically garbage.
So you will just do a YouTube search for Kitchener Stitch and...
I did watch the YouTube video about yarn slip-slip knit.
Slip-slip
knit. I had forgotten how to do that.
High five.
Yay! Yay, YouTube!
And it worked.
And then I watched a hamster dance on a piano.
Oh, by the way, one of my favorite and... Well, one of our favorite... YouTube clips is a hamster on a piano.
Hamster
and the original
on the piano.
One, not like the remixed one or anything.
It's real. We will link to this
in the show notes. It is the cutest YouTube video ever, and there's a song that goes with it.
Hamster on a piano. Ooh, hamster on a piano. Ooh, hamster on a piano. Eating popcorn on a piano.
Anyways, I'm sure you enjoyed all that.
I don't have a hamster.
Have to cut that.
No, I have neither a hamster nor a piano, but...
But you're knitting your socks at the same time.
Yes, I have lots of sticks.
You have lots of
knitting
sticks.
Marion one gave me a stick, and then I went and bought five other sticks, bamboo sticks, at Soho Knit? Soho store in Soho. They were fine. $8. I thought they should cost a little less, honestly, but they're nice. They haven't bent much yet.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're knitting each sock on how many needles?
Five and four right now, because the gusset thing is easier with five.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have nine, basically. I'm dealing with my nine, and yeah.
But it's going well.
It's going, and the magic part is, this is the episode of magic, the Malabrigo actually is striping itself.
Yeah, but it's not self-striping yarn. It's pooling in a way.
It's pooling into stripes.
It's basically striping, but it's not a self-striping yarn, so it's... I guess flashing in the stripes rather than just kind of being random with its colors.
I'm hoping
but Melanie loves pooling and flashing.
No, I do love flashing.
Well, that's right.
And I love pools.
That's true.
So overall.
And when it happens on your socks, you kind of love it. You get so excited, right?
Well, there's no point in knitting something if it doesn't have splotches on it. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. So it's coming and... Probably considering the length of my flight back and how long my stopover is, I will have finished them by the next podcast.
Are you taking any yarn with you just in case you finish that project?
No, I actually have two more. I brought my stash.
You brought your stash?
Yes, I have two skeins of sock yarn.
Two more?
Two more Malabrigo skeins.
How much did you expect to knit on this visit?
No, I didn't bring it here.
In New York?
No, in New York. I brought it to New York.
Okay, but what are you going to do in the meantime if you finish your socks?
I'm not going to finish the socks.
Okay.
I don't have big feet, actually. It won't take that long to go from the gusset. It's like 3 inches, maybe. I don't know. Knitting's hard. If I finish, maybe I'll actually...
Wear them? Melanie knit a pair of socks a year ago, and she still hasn't worn them.
They're safe at home.
And then
in Canada.
When you...
I'll give them to my children or something
when
one
you
day.
Finish these socks, will you wear them?
You know how long it takes to knit socks?
I know, but that's the point, is that you get to enjoy them. You wear them with shoes where they'll show.
What if my feet sweat? I mean, in them. In
what
the
if?
What if?
How about when your feet sweat?
Anyway, I think we should move on to another segment, and I will keep going on the sock.
I was called from my cozy office one dark and rainy night by Miss Georgia Peach, the young mistress of Peachtree Plantation. It seems that the most horrible crime had occurred. Her antique heirloom ivory knitting needles had been stolen. Also, it seemed her husband had been murdered. Her two sisters, Miss Magnolia and Miss Sweet Pea Peach, were bereft. Without the needles, Miss Magnolia could not finish knitting her wedding dress. And without the wedding dress, she could not attend her own upcoming nuptials. Also, quite unfortunately, her fiancé was missing. I received a mysterious call and went to a secret meeting under Dead Man's Pier, and was warned that a local yarn store was owned by Miss Georgia, and that they only sold acrylic yarn. The mysterious figure then warned to beware the Widow Peach. That warning, however, was forgotten as I arrived home to find Miss Sweet Pea Peach waiting for me. 3 minutes and 5 seconds later, Georgia and I lay panting on my unmade Pullman bed, panting with pleasure. I want to let it go. I want to enjoy this rarest of moments. But even more than a man, I am a detective. I lean into Georgia and I say, I know about the yarn store and the acrylic.
Why, detective? That was the brief, most passionate meeting I'd ever had. But, darling, we scarcely know each other to nod in passing. Why would you ask little old me about something so personal as acrylic?
I'm sorry, Madam Peach, but I need to know more about your shop. I have it under very good, authority that there's something very important about your shop.
I scarcely even remembered I owned the silly thing. I don't see why it could be so important, really.
Georgia flounced away to my bathroom to freshen up. I assume the loud cries she made upon entering the room was sheer admiration for the variety of pin-up girls and one particularly attractive horse I had decorating the walls. Or perhaps, considering that it was followed by a large splash, the cry came from when she fell into the toilet. I was always taught to keep the toilet seat down in case a lady should stay the night. But you see, toilet seats are a luxury that a man in my position can ill afford. Suddenly, a melodious sound came from inside Miss George's purse. Before I could stop myself, I reached for her candy floss pink mobile phone and flipped it open. Hello? I said.
Georgia, is that you?
No. yes, it is. It is Georgia. How can I help you?
Georgia, I don't think I can hold him much longer. He keeps struggling and moaning, and I think he's gonna wake up. What do I do?
Should
I do what you told me to do last time? Cover his face in newly dyed blue heart? Remember, you said that the vinegar fumes from the blue heart dye lot would knock him right out. And you were right. If you think I should, I'll do that.
The stranger forgets to hang up the phone, and in the background, I hear strange noises.
Help me, somebody! Magnolia, are you there? Save me, somebody! Georgia, I swear, if I ever get out... Hey, what are you doing? What? No! Not more acrylic! I can't wait!
Sweet dreams! Gotta go!
I hear the girl's voice get fainter, and I quickly flip the phone closed and stuff it back in Miss George's bag. Just in time, too, because seconds later, Georgia comes back in the room, looking rather damp.
Darling, did I hear you calling me while I was freshening up?
There was so much I wanted to ask her, so much I wanted to ask her to do. I wanted to spend another 3 passionate minutes with her in my bed, but I was, above all, a detective, and I knew I needed to get to Georgia's yarn store before it was too late.
Meanwhile, at the peach plantation...
Sweet Pea, if you don't call Georgia right away, I will.
You're crazy. I'm not going to call her.
But she'll be heartbroken. This is the worst, the absolute worst thing that could ever have happened to her. Ever.
You do know that her husband just died.
Ever.
Okay, whatever.
I can't believe they're so close and yet so far.
I can't believe there's this much fuss over a pair of knitting needles. Don't you guys have anything better to do?
Don't you understand? These needles, they're all that holds us together as a family. As... peaches. With them gone, we might as well be...
plums?
You joke, but my heart is broken. Broken. My fiancé is gone, and now I'll never get married. And you, too, will die a virgin.
Right. Right, virgin.
The only thing to do is to give them what they want.
And then you'll get the needles back? That's what the mysterious letter that we've only been referring to obliquely thus far says?
But yes, give them what they want.
But why would they want the detective? How do they even know about him? And wait, was this letter opened when you first found it?
Why, yes. I figured you had read it first.
I didn't, and... wait, it smells faintly like George's perfume. Did she read this first?
Perhaps she did. I wonder where she is now.
Meanwhile, back at the detective's apartment...
Here, detective, drink this this martini.
Well, if you say so...
With Magnolia's fiancés held hostage at George's yarn store, and the needle thief demanding receipt of our hero detective, and with our hero in the clutches of the beautiful but possibly nefarious Georgia Peach, what will happen next on
The Case of the Missing Ivory Knitting Needles?
I was at work today, and there was,
Wait, can we start again? Can we just say that this is not a segment we had planned on doing?
No, this is not a segment we had planned on doing, but I've just arrived home from work, and I have a confession, and it's a good story confession, so I thought I would share it with the world, and it's actually really embarrassing.
Sounds good to me.
The entire staff of my section, which is probably about 22 people, we were all sitting in a boardroom today, there was a presentation going on the screen, and the presenter was doing a demo on the screen of how to work certain computer things. There are little washrooms on this. It's a toilet story. There are little washrooms, a men's and a woman's individual washroom, just off the side. So basically, you're in the room, you walk halfway through the room, and there is the men's washroom door and the women's washroom door, and all there is one door in between. So the presentation was going on, and there was a 5-minute break, and so I went to use the washroom. Well, I flushed the toilet, and the water didn't go down. Instead, it went up, and up, and up, and up, and then over the edge, it overflowed onto the floor. And it just kept coming. Eventually I got it to stop, but then it was the question of, A, what do I do with all the water that's up to the top in the toilet, and what do I do with this giant flood on the floor? And also, the presentation had started again. And I could hear them through the door. Oh my goodness.
Is that why you've had little splashes on the back of your stockings?
Was there a little splash?
On one side, there's like, it looks like a car had splashed you.
Yeah, oh, that's possible, because okay. It was raining outside.
Okay, might not have been a car.
It might not have been a car. I'm going to have to wash those stockings. So, between my own ingenuity and a toilet brush, I managed to get the water to go down the toilet. But then there was still this flood on the floor, and so I used quite a bit of paper towel. Thankfully, there was a drain in the middle of the bathroom floor. So I managed to get most of it down the drain, and then I found cleaning products in the bathroom, like a spray cleaner. So I sprayed the floor and I washed it. I was in there probably 35 minutes.
They don't pay you enough.
But the problem is, I know they don't, but the problem is that it's not like I was outside in the washroom. I was just on the side. So as soon as I opened the door, I was basically in the middle of the presentation.
So did anyone wonder where you were?
Well, there was the one girl who was one of the presenters who I get along well with. After the presentation, I said, oh my goodness. I was wondering what was happening in there. I kept hearing the toilet flush, and then I heard splashing.
Well, I mean, in your defense, you don't have a bathtub here.
No, I wasn't bathing in the toilet water, but oh my goodness. But just picture it. I've been on the job 1 month. The entire section, 20-something people sitting immediately outside the toilet, the washroom, and I have this toilet overflowing emergency. And then I had to step out because the presentation went on for another 45 minutes, so eventually I had to leave the washroom and go take my seat. But it was clear that I had been in there 35 minutes because it leads directly into the conference room.
Did anyone ask you how you were feeling?
Oh my goodness. I ended up telling the story to 3 people, but
now everyone knows.
Now I've told it to I don't know how many thousands.
Probably on YouTube and Facebook.
However, so that was my welcome to the new office experience.
That's a good story.
Yeah, kind of one of those, you know, you're making a speech naked in front of people situations.
But it's real.
But it was real, and it happened to me.
That's my sister.
Last week, I talked to you about women's body types and how best to pick knitting projects and how best to pick sweaters and tops to suit your body shape and to fit and flatter. And this week, I thought that since we concentrated on women before, it's time to talk about the men.
It is only fair.
For all of our male listeners out there, I know you don't get a lot of attention, but this is for you. And of course, for women who are knitting or shopping for men as well. For women, what we were trying to do was achieve balance, and we talked about the hourglass being generally considered the balanced body type. For men, I hate to use the word ideal.
The internet uses the word ideal.
The internet does use the word ideal, but I suppose the body shape that is going to best fit into our society's view of beauty is a tall man with a broad chest that tapers down to a waist and hips of medium size, sort of creating an upside-down triangle. But even men who aren't built that way can find a way to mimic the shape or to maximize their positive features and minimize the items that they would like to minimize.
And I just want to put an aside and say that Savvy Bro is built this way.
Savvy Bro is built in the upside-down triangle.
It's not fair.
It is Well, I don't really want to be an upside-down triangle myself. He's going to be a good catch.
Yes, he is.
He is a good catch.
I'm hoping he doesn't hear this, so it'll get through.
I know, he might edit this down. I'm going to have to couch it in a lot of boring knitting talk, so he fast-forwards through this.
I think you already are.
I know. Okay, so let's talk about hip-shoulder proportion on men. To get the, and I'm going to use the word perfect or ideal, but please keep in mind that this is not a value judgment. This is just talking about this upside-down triangle build being our society's view of the most attractive man's body type. Based on that idea, to get perfect proportions, a man's hips should be smaller than his shoulders, and his waist should be narrower than his chest. And let me just give a quick aside. There are all sorts of combinations. Just keep that in mind. I can't talk about everything, so I tried to pick some of the more typical categories. Let's talk about the tall and skinny man. Things to avoid are clingy fabrics, tops that are too large, because all of this extra fabric will make you look like you're swimming in your shirt. It just makes you look smaller and thinner when you wear something that's way too big on you. Any loose fabric under the arms or in the shoulder area, that's something to avoid. Avoid oversized sweaters paired with fitted pants or vice versa, because your thin frame will be glaringly apparent.
There's something else that will be glaringly apparent if your pants are too tight.
Okay, that's true. Yeah. Also avoid trends like the fitted thin cardigan, because you want to avoid looking like a schoolboy. You want to maximize your
post-pubescent figure.
I was going to say man-like figure rather than a boy-like figure. Also avoid V-neck sweaters that expose your neck and your thin features. Avoid the monochromatic look. So if you wear a solid color from head to toe, especially if it's dark, like a black, you'll seem even thinner. So the idea is to break up the look by wearing a few different colors in your outfit. It's kind of fun because you get to play with different colors and you get to experience and experiment with a lot of different looks. Things to choose if you are tall and skinny. You want to choose tops that are fitted but that allow movement. You want to keep consistency in your tops and bottoms. That is, if they're baggy, although avoid baggy, but you want them to both look relatively fitted without being too tight. Choose heavier fabrics for all your clothes, and choose chunky knitted wool cardigans instead of thin cardigans. So lucky you guys, you get to wear the chunky knitted sweaters, and it takes a lot less time to knit you sweaters.
Yeah, it does.
Also choose to dress in layers, since the more clothes you wear, the more bulk you'll have on your body, and you will appear to have more mass. Turtlenecks and crew neck sweaters are going to be good because they are going to de-emphasize the thinness and the length of your limbs and your neck and your chest. You should also pick shirts that have spread collars, since they'll make the upper portion of your chest seem wider. Horizontal stripes. You are the guys who horizontal stripes are made for. Go ahead. That will make your body look wider, and that's a good thing for you. Also, you can choose a single large horizontal stripe across the chest area, and this can be particularly flattering because it makes your shoulders look broader. Moving on to the heavyset man. And for those of these body shapes, the area at and below your waist needs to be narrowed down in order to achieve the appearance of that V shape. Also, you want to try to make your shoulders look wider than they are. Things for you to avoid include clothes that are too tight, since garments that are too tight will reveal all of the lumps. Also avoid too loose clothing, since they'll make you look larger than you actually are.
Unless they're on sale.
Right. Tops with naturally sloped shoulders, because these will draw the eye down to your midsection. Avoid loud or bold patterns, as they will make you stand out, in addition to drawing attention to the upper half of your body. Avoid turtlenecks completely, because they will make your neck disappear, and it will make you look shorter and wider. Avoid bulky knits.
Ugh, none of that for you.
And avoid horizontal and diagonal stripes. Things for you to choose are clothes that skim over your body and smooth out its surface. Tops that have slightly squared shoulders, as this will draw attention to your shoulders, your chest, and your face rather than your midsection. Go for vertical lines, since they will help elongate the look of your body. Dark and solid colors look good on you.
Agreed.
So do V-necks, as these create the illusion of a slimmer neck.
Agreed too.
Also, good fashion to try is a dress shirt and a V-neck sweater vest. And isn't that fun for people to knit sweater vests? The vest will keep you warm and will smooth out your midsection and your love handles. and will give you a very pulled together appearance. Go monochromatic, so a shirt and top in two contrasting colors, like black and white, will break you in half and make your larger middle stand out. So instead, choose tops and bottoms that are identical or similar in color to create that clean, flowing visual impression. Go for belts, because a belt will nip in at your waistline and make your waist appear slimmer.
Unless it's one of those tiny little thin belts.
No, but lots of men, I don't think men wear the really slim belts.
I bought one and
it doesn't work.
It got given away.
The men, please don't buy those a very slim women's belt.
You don't want to lose it while it's on. I didn't, by the way. Anyway.
Go for garments that will fit smoothly over your waist without stretching the fabric. Otherwise, especially if it's a sweater, it will stretch out and appear misshapen. And go for set-in sleeves. For a shorter man, we're moving on now.
It's hard enough to be a short guy, so I hope you have some hints to make.
I have some good hints, I think. For shorter men, choose accessories like a newsboy cap, and we knitters know that we can knit hats galore, because it will give the illusion of an extra inch or two of height.
Oh, and if he ever needs a second job selling papers, he'll have
that. That's true.
Extra, extra, I'm sure.
Extra, extra. We are not making fun of you. Maybe Melanie is.
Well, if I were a guy, I would be about the shortest. I mean, I'm 5 feet tall, so if I were a guy, I'm short for a girl.
If you were a guy. If you were a short man, you would choose thin stripes or smaller checks. You would choose vertical stripes. You would go the monochromatic look again with one color from top to bottom. You would also opt for darker colors. And you would choose thinner gauge knits. You would choose fitted, but not too tight tops. You would go for V-necks, since this will help your torso look longer. You will also go for patterns that are small or subtle, and stripes that are thin. You want to choose patterns such as checks, houndstooth, herringbone, that sort of thing, where the size of the pattern will have a more solid effect from a distance, rather than being able to distinguish features in the pattern from a distance. Things for you to avoid are really big stripes or designs, since on smaller bodies, big prints tend to overwhelm. You want to avoid big collars, too baggy clothing, avoid turtlenecks, since this will make your neck look shorter, and avoid heavy gauge knits and chunky cable knits.
No cables for you.
Okay, for the muscular man, and this is sort of the uber V-shape, the man who goes to the gym and really bulks up.
Ooh, I don't know. Hard.
It is hard work. I don't know very many men with this body shape, but for those who put in the effort, these are some of the things you should choose. Tops that follow the V-shape of your torso. Considering the amount of effort you spend to achieve your muscular physique, it's worth the effort to have well-fitted tops. But in order to look balanced, also you want to choose tops that downplay your shoulders a little bit and emphasize the area under your waist. Raglan sleeves, especially raglan with two colors and darker shoulders, that will make your shoulders look a little less extreme and will emphasize a little bit more the chest area and not so much the wide shoulders. And go for darker colors on top. Things to avoid are sleeveless t-shirts. Sorry, guys.
I'm afraid that will not be happening for these guys.
Also, t-shirts with short sleeves. And avoid tucking in your shirts, because that will emphasize the uber V-shape and make you look a little unbalanced. Okay, men of average build. So you're neither tall nor short. You're neither heavy nor too thin. You don't have huge muscles, and most clothes seem to fit you just right when you buy them off the rack. Most things will look good on you, so pretty much dress neatly, pay attention to your fabric combinations, pay attention to the colors you choose, and for these body shapes, try to make your shoulders look bigger and your waist look smaller to achieve that V-shape. Things for you to choose can include set-in sleeves, larger collars, and V-necks. When I talked about women's body shapes, I went and I found patterns to suggest that would fit the different body shapes. With men, basically the idea is very similar with all of the shapes. Sometimes the idea is to minimize, sometimes to maximize, but a lot of it has to do with the fit and the choice of color and the insertion of stripes. So I would recommend, rather than me going and choosing patterns, I would recommend choosing a pattern that has some features that will look attractive on the person you're knitting for or for yourself, and then altering it to fit and editing the colors and adding or taking away stripes in order for it to be custom for the man you're knitting for, and if that man is yourself, even better. That's pretty much all I have to say about this for now. I would encourage you, if anyone has knit patterns that fit a man perfectly and emphasize the right things and minimize the right things, I would love to see it, and I would love to hear all about how you altered the pattern and how you chose the pattern and why it works on the man it works on.
I'm only thinking of him. I'm only thinking of him. Whatever I may do or say, I'm only thinking of him. In my body, it's well known, there is not one selfish bone. I'm only thinking and worrying about him.
Okay, Deborah, it's been a while. We haven't brought back any words.
It has been a while since we brought back. I can't even talk. By the way, everybody, I've had a very long work day. I'm exhausted.
And the sugar high is crushed.
And the sugar... Well, I didn't have as much sugar as Melanie did. However, I'm not terribly articulate, and I think Melanie has chosen a word to bring back that I cannot even pronounce.
It could have been worse. I had harder ones, but this is one...
This is fairly difficult. It's actually not that difficult of a word. It's just I can't pronounce it tonight. I'm so tired.
This word is, would you like to say it?
Frivoling.
Frivoling.
Ooh, I said it. It's frivolous that I'm having trouble with.
It's also a hard word.
Hard word.
To frivol.
Basically, it's to act frivolously. Did I say that right?
Yes, and a derived form from that is to frivol away. And I think we should go with that because it's easier to say.
To frivol away?
You could frivol things away.
Well, no, I think frivoling is better.
Well, it's the act of frivoling, to frivol something away is frivoling.
Let's just say frivolous over and over and over.
Frivolous.
So the word frivolous means?
To squander, to act.
Does it mean to squander?
No, we are internet stuff.
I thought frivolous meant a little bit silly, impractical.
I think impractical is a good word.
It is a good word. Does it actually relate?
I think it does. I think it
does. Okay, so frivolous is a word that we use nowadays, but I don't use the word frivoling.
Well, now you do.
But now I am frivoling.
We're frivoling away our podcast listeners' time. What else have we frivoled away today? All that dragon fruit.
That was not frivoling. That's called eating.
That's called gluttony.
That is called gluttony. I would say that in the last couple of days, we've been frivoling, and that's why the podcast is out a little bit late.
That's a good point.
Because we have been visiting with one another and watching TV.
And eating ice cream.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And having a frivolous time.
Frivolous.
I just made that up, everybody.
It's a good word. No, we should go for it. Frivolous. Bring it back. Bring it.
Can we stop this now?
I think we should go. I mean... I think that we will maybe something to
do. Can I interrupt you here? And I'll be your interpreter. Melanie, will you use the word frivoling in a sentence, please?
Are you serious? Okay. I meant to spend the time in the Orlando airport when I was on a stopover on the way to visit you. I meant to spend it editing and getting things done I needed to do. But instead I was frivoling, but instead I frivoled the entire 5-hour stopover knitting my socks.
What does little mean?
Insert curse word here.
Oh,
I see. Socks.
I would say that since I finished my last...
5 hours. I can't believe I'll never get that apple.
We actually haven't talked about that. Will you tell me, how much time did you spend working on your socks on your way here?
5 hours plus two in the subway plus... One in the airport. Probably about 14 hours.
What? All in a period of how long?
Probably about 14 hours over the course of 16 hours.
No. And you don't like knitting.
I really was very tired, and a repetitive task sort of suited my lack of consciousness at that point.
Hallelujah, sister. I, on the other hand, finished my latest knitting project, which was my sweater, and I have been frivoling away the time... Because I can't figure out what I would like to knit next.
So instead you're doing useful things.
I'm not doing useful things. I've been watching TV and playing card game, which is terribly frivolous.
It's not as fun as Spider Solitaire, I'll give you
No, that's what I've been playing.
Oh, then that's okay.
Yeah, I've been playing Spider Solitaire.
How many suits?
4 suits.
Oh, I hope so.
Anyways, I have been frivoling away the time when I could have been doing something productive, like knitting something.
What's your percentage?
Not high.
I'm 100%, 140 games, 40 out of 40, 4 suits, 5 to solitaire. Just so you know, when I frivol, I do it right. I frivol hard and fast.
And I don't stop frivoling until I'm done.
Exactly, 40 out of 40, baby. Beat that.
But you do go back when you come to the end of the game. You do undo until you when you play it again, right?
I'm afraid we're going to have to end the segment now. So the word is frivoling.
And frivol away.
Frivol away. Frivoling,
folks.
It's neat and it's sweet. It's a ding-dong treat. Little socks for little feet.
Just knitting with your knitting all day long.
You know, knitting's friendly and knitting's fun.
Knitting's good for everyone. And that is why we sing this knitting song.
With knit one, purl two. What's a knitter gonna do with a gall? Darn, ball of yarn. And stitch three, drop four. Pitch that knitting out the door right now.
Thank you for tuning in to episode number 32 of the Savvy Girls podcast.
This was quite the episode.
In our next episode, we are going to be talking all about our visit together in Bogota, and I'm sure there will be plenty of knitting-related content because, well, there always is. We are also going to be announcing the winners of our Podcastapalooza Knitting Etiquette Contest. You still have until our next episode in order to submit your ideas of knitting etiquette, that is, how both knitters and non-knitters should behave in relation to knitting and knitted goods.
September 30th is the deadline. We are going to do judging immediately after and announce
a
couple days later.
Exactly. We have an amazing prize donated by Green Mountain Knitting Bags, and it is a beautiful knitting bag.
Yeah, I want the bag.
No, so do I. Yeah. But apparently
no
we can't win our own contest.
No. I guess that wouldn't be fair.
I also wanted to remind you that Melanie and I have Savvy Girl swag. That is, we have packages of gifts to send to listeners in return for your kind podcast donations. There is absolutely no obligation to donate, but if you would like to, you can visit our website and see what we have. We have project bags, and we have stitch markers, and we have some hard-to-get Malabrigo yarn, including both Dos and Rios. We also have a yarn and fiber that we've dyed ourselves, and we've put them together in packages. And so in return for a minimum podcast donation, we will be excited to send you our swag. Also, Melanie has recently come out with an album of knitting songs with her beautiful voice.
La, la, la.
You can. That's the beautiful voice. The album is called Knitting All the Day, and you can get the songs through CD Baby. And I encourage you to go and check it out at the very least. It's inexpensive to download, and I'd love to hear knitting songs all over the place.
So would I.
Of course. If you want to reach us, you can contact us via email at podcast@savvygirls.ca. You can find us on our website at www.savvygirls.ca. That's SAVVYGIRLS.ca. We would also love if you joined us on our Ravelry group. Our group is called the Savvy Girls Podcast. And if you're looking for Melanie or I am Savvy Girl Melanie.
No, you're not. I'm Savvy Girl
Melanie.
Yeah,
that's right. Melanie is Savvy Girl Melanie.
Wow.
Oh my goodness, I'm on autopilot. And I am Savvy Girl Deborah. And we love it when people friend us so that we can follow what you're knitting and what you're doing. And so that we can get to know people. We are also hoping to see you at Rhinebeck. We still have to work out our plans, but we will let you know exactly what's happening. But
sorry to interrupt. We're planning to hopefully be there Saturday and Sunday.
We are. I still need to ask for leave from work, but hopefully
if you work with my sister, give her leave.
Hopefully. I will do that tomorrow, and by the time this episode comes out, I will have already been approved that leave. But anyways, we hope to see you at Rhinebeck, and we hope to see you during our next show. So, in the meantime,
tend to your knitting, kitten.
My cardigan would look silly without long green stripes.
Don't shout.
I'll shout if I want to. And do you know why?
Why?
Because I hate knitting.
And frivol away.
Frivol away.
Folks.